¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
How about them Cougs? How about them Cougs? Man, was that fun last night. Beating the number one seed.
That really was a fun. That was a good game.
It got a little scary at the end, throwing the ball all over the place.
It got scary at the end, but that was a good game. Arizona did not fall apart. Like, they came back. They made it a game. Houston, but they could never quite get over the top. And when you defend and when you get stops, you can win even when your offense goes in a slump like Houston had, where they had scored 3 points in over a 5.5 minute span. They kept showing that graphic, and yet you're looking like, Arizona's still down six.
Yeah, right.
Like, they've only scored 3 points in 5.5 minutes, and Arizona's down, and they're still down six because Houston defends.
Right.
They defend.
Oh, my gosh, do they defend. It's unbelievable.
I wonder if Jeff Van Gundy watches any of this, because I thought of his teams with the Knicks, like 90s basketball. I thought about his Knicks teams. And, like, there's no way that basketball coaches, it has to continue to stir in the private areas when they watch, at least the guys who are not, like, just run and gun, you know, basketball coaches. But even those basketball coaches will have a basketball background rooted in defensive principles and team basketball. They all are. Every basketball coach is a team basketball guy. What Houston does is as team basketball as it gets. And I'll bet you that right now, any high school basketball coaches that are listening to us right now, AAU coach, I don't care who you are, any coach who's watching right now absolutely loves watching Houston play, because that's what it looks like when a bunch of guys commit to an intensity that is just too much for the other team. That's what imposing your will looks like.
And it's time after time after time.
Every time down the court. Did you see when Kelvin Sampson was interviewed by Allie LaForce at halftime? She said, what do you think about, you know, you started off, you imposed your will early, and then they got back in. How did they do that? Oh, you know, two things that just bothered us all year long. Foul trouble and fatigue. I'm like, fatigue?
Fatigue?
I couldn't. Fatigue? What?
Well, that wasn't even. That was during a timeout. That wasn't halftime.
Oh, was that during a timeout?
That's during a timeout.
Yeah, that's right.
And
it
he
was
kept on talking. I was like, Coach, get back to your team.
Yeah, I know. It was a long answer.
He don't care. He's good.
He likes the answer.
He does.
But fatigue. The one word that doesn't come to me when I watch Houston basketball is fatigue.
Did you see her report? Did you hear her report
about them practicing the
day before? They're running sprints.
Well, on the Jimmy Jackson said they were watching. Who was it? Was it Robert? They had one player. They said that they're watching. Like, oh my God, he's running.
He's running.
They call them suicides or horses or whatever. He's running suicides.
The day before the game. Right. Well, they don't get to listen. If they ever get tired, you never see a guy go, oh, I'm beat, Coach. Take me out of this game, because this team is so. Well, just so much fun to watch. Holy cow. And, you know, we were hoping that maybe Kyler Edwards, it's 9:30 the morning after a game.
But what about that? Our guy who we're going to have on, but we were talking about after the show, like, you know what time he's going to be done? And you know how hyped he's going to be after the game? He'll either be depressed or hyped. And there's no chance he's going to be on air with us today. We will get him next week, though.
Yeah, we're going to get Kyler Edwards.
We're going to get him next week. What a game Edwards had.
What a game Edwards had. What a game Shed had. Shed was unstoppable up until he started throwing hook passes at his own, from his own corner. Holy cow. He had three straight turnovers where the first one he just dribbled, and then he started hooking. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar hooks from his own corner with two guys on him and throwing the ball away, and it got a little bit hairy at the end. But, man, Carlton, the way he rebounds, the way that he defends, and Fabian, the way that he – it's just – they're relentless, this team. And this was basically without Tajay. Tajay couldn't the fouls on Tajay, the third foul was just like, are you kidding me? What a ridiculous foul that was. It wasn't on him. The guy runs into him, and they call Tajay on the foul. But Walker came in, and I was a little worried about him. That third three that he took, I was like, oh, dude. Or the second three that he took, if he'd have hit that, they'd have put him up 14, and it would have been with about 5 minutes left, and it would have been over. But I liked how the freshman came in. His first three was early when Tajay had to go out with the three fouls. Mm-hmm. Man, he hit him on the corner on a breakaway, and Walker just knocked it down. It was like, holy crap, the freshman came to play.
Yeah,
freshman
he had 27 minutes because of the – and look, they're not deep on their bench at all. I mean, they went three deep yesterday, especially because of foul trouble. But it is a team that is – they live and die. You know they're going to rebound well, although they got beat on the boards yesterday, on the offensive boards.
I know, right?
By four. But
that was at the end. There was a lot of tips at the end.
Yeah, but Arizona really was – like I said, Arizona didn't quit. Like, Arizona's talented. They're young but talented. But they have, you know, and they kept playing, and they kept playing, and they kept trying to stick with it. But it was just Houston, they didn't figure out early enough that they could pressure Houston and get Houston frazzled until they started, you know, running a full court press, which is a little bit of a concern. The last couple minutes of that game is a little bit of concern moving forward, I think. But Houston basically took it to Arizona, and it's just like what we talked about. The young team wasn't really ready for that level of intensity, and it showed early in the game.
Well, how about this? Mathurin was 0 for his first six. Mm-hmm. Tubelis ended 0 for 8. And Kern Krisa was 1 for 7. I think he missed his first five or six shots as well.
Kern Krisa also had no poise. Of course, he missed three threes toward the end of the game. He also, did you see him when he came off the court? He was so mad. Yeah, he got caught, and he started doing the vomit thing. And
right.
Like, he shows no poise.
Well,
at
he's
all.
No, and listen.
And he can shoot.
Did you see the Cougs fans waving at him?
Yeah.
But that was payback for what they did to TCU fans. Did you see what Arizona did against the TCU
fans? The players?
Fans? The players.
No.
They went
didn't
over
it.
To the TCU fans. Because
I noticed
stands.
All the Houston.
Yeah, all the Houston fans were waving at him. It was a big story. Is the players went over to the TCU fans and started waving at them, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. In an overtime game that was a tough, tough game, they're giving them the
no
business.
Respect, huh?
No respect. And so I think that's one of the reasons that the Houston fans were waving at the Arizona players.
Well, this is what happens when you do that because TCU's in the state of Texas.
Yeah, that's right.
And so Texas is going to come. So a Texas school like Houston is going to come back. And they'll bully the bullies.
Well,
that's what happens. You remember what happened on My Bodyguard?
Yeah, I remember.
And all of a sudden, he got his motorcycle thrown in the water by the bald head guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that's what that was the
that's
story.
That's what happens.
Yeah, I remember. It was a long time ago, but it was a little unfair for Arizona to have to play in Houston.
They played in Houston.
Honestly,
they played in West Houston.
Well, it would have been the same thing if. Listen, it's almost the same thing if that game was played in Phoenix.
Yeah,
because it's about a 3-hour trip.
Arizona is a one seed, though.
Arizona is a one
that's
seed.
That's the difference.
But they were playing a road game.
There's no
question.
They're a one seed playing a road game. That's what's a little unfair
right.
is that, you know, with the bubble formulation and all that Houston ends up getting basically a home game. It was crazy how loud it was.
And wait.
That was
because
great.
Because all those. It ain't like Villanova showing up on Saturday.
No, I mean,
and I know
East Coast
a lot
team.
Of people have said I'm going Saturday if they win.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be almost
if I wasn't going
all
to Jim
red.
Jeffries, I would 100% drive up there, get a ticket, drive up there, and go.
Yes.
I would 100%. I got tickets that I gotta use.
But, oh, you're so oh funny. You're gonna go see Funny Man instead of watching the Cougs.
Okay. I didn't anticipate when I bought these
Am
tickets.
Am I funny to you?
When I bought these tickets in December, I did not anticipate Houston being in the Elite
this?
Eight. I should have.
How about this?
I should have.
How about this? A guy asked me 3 months ago, he said, couples, he asked three couples, hey, I got tickets for a play. Do you guys want to go? Yeah, we'll go. Sure, we'll go.
Don't tell me it's Final Four.
It was last night.
Oh.
I told him on Tuesday, I said, how are you going? I'm sorry. I guess what? And he's a big, big Coug fan. And he's like, I know, me too. I said, well, what the hell are you doing buying tickets?
He just don't think.
He goes, I didn't think they'd get this far. They don't have any players left. There's no players left. How the hell did they get this far?
I didn't think they'd get this far. I thought UAB could be tough. I thought they'd lose to Illinois. And then I thought, well, this is for sure. Like this. And then I realized, oh, they're in San Antonio. There's going to be some Cougars who make the trip. No idea it was going to be that
loud. Oh, my gosh.
And then every time you go somewhere, you know, every time you're at a bubble, every team's fan base is going to cheer for the underdog. They never cheer for the top seed. So you always have every ancillary fan is going to be cheering for the underdog, too.
Yeah.
It was loud.
I don't know. The Villanova's cheering for the Cougs anymore. I don't know you want this. Honestly, of all the teams that you're playing that are left in this tournament, if you're a coach and you draw the Cougs, honestly, you got to be like, holy crap.
No, you don't want
this. I don't want this.
Look, you might have more talent than them. You may have more pro players. Your guys probably aren't going to play harder than Houston. You just, once again, here's Houston's three-point shooting. In the first game against UAB, they were 47%. UAB was 26%. The next game, they were 27% Houston, but Illinois was 24% from three, and they were 34% from the field. And Houston had 8 less turnovers and 4 more offensive rebounds. So it was no big deal. Then Houston was 45, which it didn't feel like 45. Other than Edwards, it felt like a lot of bricks up there. But they were 45 from three yesterday.
Oh, no, I didn't. Did you feel that way? No.
I felt like there was a bunch of
I thought
of
they knocked down a lot of great. Shed knocked down a few. Edwards was unbelievable.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Edwards was red hot. They shot 45%. And then here's their opponents again, shooting 31-8. So the opponents have shot 26-3, 24, and 31-8 from three. You know you're not going to bang the Cougars on the boards. You know you're not going to out-hustle them with hustle plays. You're going to probably lose the turnover battle, which they lost yesterday by 2, and it should have been probably 4, except Houston kind of fell apart at the very end. Houston, if the team that outshoots Houston from 3 will beat Houston. But so far, it hasn't really even been, I guess Illinois was close, but in every other aspect of the game. And that one got close. But Houston they eventually turn you over more and they get second chances more. So look at all those additional possessions. They're subtracting possessions from you. They're adding possessions to themselves. And then they're going to get to the free throw line too. And Houston did have some stupid fouls, but they challenge everything. So they're going to have more fouls.
Yeah, but Fabian,
fouls.
I thought, Fabian, what are you doing fouls. So far away from the basket? You're following Mathurin.
Every time somebody had a foul, I thought, oh my God, is this his fourth?
Yeah, right.
I felt like everybody was on their – and they weren't. They weren't on their fourth, but it felt like they were getting a foul.
Those refs weren't great. They were not as bad as they were in that in the game before. Holy crap. Gonzaga and Arkansas – well, that was the CBS game. But Gonzaga and Arkansas, the refereeing was so awful. Holy crap. Guys are stepping out of bounds, and the refs didn't even notice it. And in a big situation on the baseline, one of the Arkansas players steps out of bounds, dishes it out for a three, and a dude hits it. And he was clearly – I mean, it wasn't even close. He was clearly out of bounds on the baseline. So the refs were tough, I thought, last night in the Cougs game. But at least it went both ways. I could see where Arizona would have been pissed off at the refereeing, too. 713-780-3776. You've got some thoughts on the Cougs. You're more. Let's go. How about them Cougs? Whose house? That was the Cougs' house last night. Holy crap, was that fun. You guys got any? Let's go. It's Elite Eight. Let's talk some Cougs basketball. And let's talk about Jay Billis on the other side. Get Jay Billis on the phone, Sean. All right?
Yeah. Look, just get him on the show phone right now. Just call
Jay
him.
Billis. Because I want to ask him about this top 10 coaches.
Sean.
College coaches, okay.
Oh, Sean's just picked up the phone.
Thanks, Sean.
He's making it. Yeah.
All right.
So first thing I thought of this morning when I was taking his blood pressure medicine got recalled for being cancer causing, but whatever. That was fun to read yesterday. Like, hey, I've been taking this since the 30s, and Gilbert predicted I would die in 2027.
Right.
Huh. I'm starting to do the math on this, but anyway. The first thing I was thinking about it this morning, I'm like, dude, Kelvin Sampson's in the Elite Eight again, maybe going to the Final Four again with a bunch of new players. And Jay Billis didn't have him in the top 10 coaches. Jay Billis didn't have him in the top 10. Like, Jay's a basketball guy. It had to be an oversight.
Yeah. No. No, it's not. I don't think Jay Billis
It had to be
him.
An oversight. How do you not have Kelvin Sampson?
I don't get it.
It's the epitome of coaching.
When we come back, Deshaun Watson was in trouble, and then he wasn't anymore. We'll talk about that on the other side. Right now, you know what we had last night? We went out and we had crawfish last night before the games, and we were watching the games, the early games, with eating crawfish. They're so good. So, so good. We boiled crawfish. How about that? After boiling crawfish on Saturday, Lance, you were there. And we went out for more crawfish last night. My wife's like, oh, yeah, what about some more crawfish?
It's that time of the year, huh?
Well, it is that time of the year. And guess what? April 8th and 9th, the Bon Ton Roulet, Cajun Throwdown, ready to party. It's all happening at the Good Old Days Fairgrounds in Hitchcock. The entertainment lineup, better than ever, featuring Gary Allen, Aaron Watson, Wayne Toops, Jason Cassidy, and more. Come enjoy a Zydeco dancing, a crawfish eating contest, and an exciting kid zone. Get tickets now at btrcajunthrowdown.com. That's btrcajunthrowdown.com. And when they ask you, tell them that you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5. Please tell them that. That's awesome for us. It's powered by Michelob Ultra, BB's Tex Orleans, Mac Vibe Services, Tandem Trucking, and Energy Rental Solutions. Are you a crawfish fan? Let's go. April 8th and 9th at Good Old Days Fairgrounds in Hitchcock. btrcajunthrowdown.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So a grand jury in Brazoria County convened, and they decided that they're not going to press charges against Deshaun Watson. But that had to be a little bit scary yesterday for the clip. First thing I thought of when I heard that a grand jury was convening in Brazoria County because one of the alleged incidents took place in Pearland. First thing I thought of was, oh my goodness, now if he has charges, more criminal charges, and he's got to face those, that Cleveland, no, 1, 2, 3, no take backs. 1, 2, 3, no take backs. We don't want them back. You got them now. Sorry. Oh, there are charges now. Oh, sorry. Guess what? There might be charges in Atlanta because he flew an Atlanta girl in. Who knows? Who knows? And then the feds might come in because he flew someone in. Who knows? But the first thing I thought of was Cleveland, 1, 2, 3, no take backs.
I did too. I like to think of, and I saw somebody say, oh, you know, Houston, or you know, Texas was gonna cancel those charges so that they could keep the draft picks. Like that's done. There's no way that's. You think there's anything there's any provisions for if Deshaun gets in trouble in the future, the deal is voided. That's a done deal. This is 1, 2, 3.
Yeah,
take. This is 1, 2, 3. No back.
No,
situation.
There can't be any. Now there was a thought that he wasn't gonna pass his physical. So maybe they would have, if he was being charged in Brazoria County, he took his physical yesterday. If he doesn't pass his physical, he's not a Brown.
Well, so then
so he took
you mean
it
like
and he passed
if he,
it.
If they were going to charge him, the physical was failed.
Failed.
Oh,
the Cleveland doctors have failed.
You guys didn't tell us he had such a bad hip. What do you mean?
What?
Deshaun's like, what?
His eyesight
bad hip.
Can't see too well.
Oh, no, he has a club foot. No, he doesn't. he's got shoes off right now. He doesn't have a club foot. Well, our doctor said so.
Yeah.
Voided. I know. I thought the same thing. Like, oh, my God. Can you imagine if these turn into charges and literally same day?
Yeah.
No, we're not doing it.
I mean, I think Brazoria County just wanted a little publicity, I think.
I don't think most at this point right now, without physical evidence, which they're not going to get, I read a whole thing about this. It's considered a,
yeah, it's a he like, said she said.
It's a fondling situation as opposed to a physical, you know, a rape. a pure sexual assault. There's different variations. I'm not going to use all
the words.
There
were a couple that were more egregious.
But they're not going to be able to take up tax dollars on this now because the initial no bill was the huge one. Everything that comes after this probably won't move forward unless there is some level of evidence that meets that exceeds the standards. I mean, they're going to have some strong evidence, text message evidence. It probably won't be physical. It'll have to be an admission by Deshaun Watson, something like that. So I don't think it's going to happen. But it wouldn't shock if some others, if there were charges that came forward again or not charges, but you know, there were complaints that came forward. It wouldn't shock me if more people came forward because I think it happened. And I wonder this. So were all the criminal charges? The first one, right?
No,
even the two who didn't get in on the civil suit, right?
Nothing.
Okay.
No build.
So this is, they're all taken
all
care
done.
Of that we
all
know
done.
Of,
all
right?
All the criminal charges taken care of. And I don't, he's probably in the clear now, but that kid popped out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Cleveland, guess what? There's a thought. Now, Mike Florio was on yesterday. Sean, did you get there? We'll get into the Mike Florio thing. Mike Florio had the opinion that Deshaun might not play at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real possibility. Was he on with the Wheelhouse Boys? Was that it? He was on with the Wheelhouse Boys. And Sean's got that sound. But holy crap. That would be something if... Now, the thought is, and what has it been? 8-6 6-4, you know, you get your suspension, 8 games, and then it's always reduced to 6. And then you get Ben got his 6, and he got reduced to 4.
I don't think he got it reduced.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it just happens. He comes down with a heavy hand. How much would Cleveland hate it? How bad would this be for the Browns and Browns fans? If Deshaun is a year, now I would imagine that if you're a team that's about to trade for Deshaun Watson, that you're talking to the commissioner's office, right? I would imagine you try.
I mean, they're not going to tell you anything, but
they might give
you guidance.
I mean, he works for them.
They might give you
Goodell
guidance.
Goodell works for Haslam.
Well, and so here is what has happened. The league has done their work. The league doesn't care what the legal system does because they understand the legal system, that what happened does not necessarily mean innocent. So they understand that's if there's not enough evidence. But what they will do is they will go look for circumstantial evidence. And that's why Ezekiel Elliott, they felt like there's enough here to be a problem.
Oh, there's plenty of smoke.
Ezekiel Elliott behind the scenes had some stuff too. Yeah. So I'm just telling you, just on background, I'm just giving you background. I'm not going to go into all of it. But there was enough there where they could say, we need to nip this in the bud. With Deshaun, I'm not sure there is enough in the background, but I do think that contract was such a spit in the face.
Yeah.
I think Mulligetta may have miscalculated. Yes, he won. That he, quote-unquote, won
he may
that.
Have...
But I think you're basically, you're punking the NFL and you're you just bat flipped on the NFL, may come back and
not only that, but the league can't be happy with the way he went about it with Jalen Ramsey, with Ngakoue, and now with Deshaun.
He's
turning it into the NBA, and I'm sure that Goodell and the rest and all the executives and all the owners in the NFL are none too pleased with the way David Mulligetta is going about it. Here is Mike Florio yesterday on with the Wheelhouse.
Everyone just assumes he's going to get suspended at some point, whether it's after these cases resolve or now that the criminal side is over. There's a chance he gets put on paid leave until the cases are over, and then he gets suspended after that. And that would be the worst-case scenario for the Browns, who just assume they're going to be without him for 6 or 8 games this year. They could be without him for all of 2022. Wow. If he decides to fight these 22 cases, and if the NFL says you're not playing until those cases are done.
You know what would miraculously happen then? They'd settle. Rusty would get a settlement with all of them.
No, then that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's what
Deshaun's going to settle with all of them, and it's going
to
be.
Well, but they didn't do that to Ezekiel Elliott or Antonio Brown, though. Antonio Brown was a year and a half with a civil suit that it seemed like it never ended.
Why did
and Zeke, too, had a civil
suit
for a while.
But that's why you got to. Yeah, so you got to. Like, Deshaun's going to settle.
Yeah.
Because he wants to play. I don't think the league, because the
precedent is set. You can play football games with facing civil suits.
But 22 is a lot.
That's a lot.
22 is a lot. We just talked about the league. The league may say, no, this is 22. We got to see how this plays out. Because what they would be doing is letting Deshaun collect his money through this year, and then bam, suspension 2023.
Well, you can guarantee if they say, Deshaun, you ain't playing until the 22 are settled, that there will be settlements immediately.
Well, that's why if you're Tony Busby, you just now gain so much leverage.
Yes, yes.
You have so much leverage because 18 of the 22 were already set to settle when Deshaun was 100% going to be traded to the Miami Dolphins. Compensation was set up. Speaking with somebody from the Dolphins, they told us this. Me and a group of two other people. Yeah, the compensation was set up. You know, the deal was done. It's just Stephen Ross said, no, if there's only 18 of 22, it's got to be everybody. It's got to be all 22. So if they had 18, and so that was always strange that, like, okay, well, if they get 18 done, and Brian Flores, that's one of the things that created tension, was Brian Flores wanted Deshaun so bad. He's like, let's just do it now, and we'll figure the other four out later. And Stephen Ross didn't want to do that. Well, so I assume Rusty's side knows. Deshaun and Rusty, they know, okay, we can for sure get these 18 done. You're just going to have to come out of the pocket, and I don't know how you're going to do it with $230 million, but you're just going to have to come out of the pocket. And they can wallet whip this whole thing away. That's not going to be a problem. If Deshaun is willing to play ball and write a check, this is going to go away, and he'll be able to play. And that is 100% going to happen. There's no way he fights this through the season and misses another season. There's no way he's missing 2 years in the middle of his prime. I mean, he missed an entire season. He missed an entire season of football. And at some point, he's going to get a suspension. Now, here's the league's conduct policy. I want to read it when we come back. I'll read the conduct policy, and I want to get back to the Cougs as well because they deserve, and the rest of March Madness, some of the games tonight. Our guy Five Star's coming on. Man, he has been on since the NFL playoffs started. The run he has been on.
Well, he hit one of two. He missed Michigan.
Yeah. He hit two of three.
He had the Cougs too. As he was walking out,
he said, unload on the Cougs.
Absolutely. But that Arkansas, you take +9.5 money line. Holy crap.
He won that game straight up.
Straight up. That was never a sweat. That was never a sweat.
Oh, all three games. Gonzaga struggled with all three games.
Yep.
And you go all the way back to the Baylor game. That's really four tournament games in a row. Teams who are athletic, because the other teams they played, like Memphis had a good athletic team. They just struggled against athletic squads.
All right, let's do it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about Chastang Ford and my people over at Chastang Ford and the greatness that is 80-plus years that they've been in the car business, have the Chastangs, and they do it. And it's because, and it's so funny, this philosophy has been passed down throughout the ages. Do you think that they would be the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston if Patrick's dad, Joe, didn't do business the right way? If Patrick's grandfather didn't do business the right way, how do you establish and become such a great company over an 80-plus year period? It's because you just do it right, and they continue to do it right in these unbelievably difficult times. The markup right now, it is unbelievable how much they're charging extra for these vehicles at other dealerships, like $5,000 and $10,000 they're adding on because of market prices. What? Are you kidding me? None of that at Chastang Ford. No dealer add-ons at Chastang Ford, but that's never happened. The dealerships have always done that. Oh, you need a bed liner. Oh, you need a sunroof. Oh, you need leather seats. No, I don't. Don't give me what I don't want. Not at Chastang Ford. That ain't happening. And zero down, 0% financing for 60 months, no payments for 90 days. That's still happening at Chastang Ford, and ain't happening at a lot of dealerships in this city. So if you're looking for that Ford car or truck or pre-owned vehicles as well because they got them on the lot, you need one now, you got it. All at ChastangFord.com or get to the dealerships on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown, Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5. broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5. This was a pretty good question by Art. Who's Sonny pulling for tonight? UH or Arizona? I just texted him.
UH.
Well, I just texted him to see.
UH.
I'm going to see. I'm
going to got no
him.
Love for
that's
the
Wildcats.
That's
the coach of the Houston Gamblers well, right there.
Are they still paying him?
Huh?
Arizona still paying him?
They might be.
Oh, well. Yeah. Go Cats.
Fact, they probably are. Cougs might be still paying
him. He might
be
him. Saying go Cats.
I know the Aggies are still paying him.
No.
No.
Oh, I was about to say, what?
No. Just a joke. Sorry, Aggs. Just a joke. Well, this
I just gave him a new contract again.
This is a pretty good question. Who's a better coach? Lamont, good coach. This is a good question. Sampson or Guy V?
So I was, as a kid, I was like really invested in all those programs. My dad was at U of H coaching football. And I mean, we got the magazines. We went to all the games. You got to remember now, these are 3 and 4 year guys. So you were locked in on your team. Honestly, with all due respect, Kelvin Sampson's a better coach.
Yes.
I mean, I don't even think it's close. Guy V was a great recruiter. He had a guy named Donnie Schrerock on his team that ran a lot of the practices. We got to go to a couple practices. Donnie Schrerock ran the practices a lot of times. Guy named Terry Kirkpatrick, who he just made sure things happened that needed to happen.
Good.
Every
program needs them.
Yeah. And you have them. It's been going on longer than you think in terms of just making sure you had a guy that – that made sure that things ran smoothly in all sectors. But so you had Terry Kirkpatrick. I'll never forget. We were at before they went to the Final Four in Seattle when it was Rim Rattle in Seattle in 1984. We're in there and we're like, oh, cool. We see Phi Sigma Gamma. And so we're at a practice and Terry Kirkpatrick's up in the stands eating ribs. Like this assistant coach, he's a big guy too. He's up eating ribs
just well, he in a should. Styrofoam He's a big guy.
Box during practice. Yeah. The assistant coach is just eating ribs. Guy V's talking to, and Donnie Schrerock, I think, is running a whole practice. And just guys flying around, dunking on each other. It was insane. But, no, the whole Guy V roll the ball out thing, while that's a little unfair, I do think Guy had some. You can pick at Guy Lewis as a coach. You can't pick at Kelvin Sampson.
Listen,
Kelvin Sampson is what a basketball coach
is. He didn't roll the ball out,
is.
But he ain't Kelvin Sampson.
No.
As far as Kelvin Sampson with that team, and by the way, and yet because I'm watching Akeem there last night, you saw the dream. They had the picture of Dream watching the game there. This team, talent wise, isn't even. It's not even in the same ballpark. No. And yet they're doing the same things. They're
Michael
going
Young
to
was
Final Four.
You know, Michael Young was a first-round pick, Boston Celtics. Clyde's top 75. Dream's right. top 75. Right. They're all on one team for two different Final Fours.
This is a team that will have nobody. Maybe Fabian White's going to play in Israel. I don't know. But Tajay Moore is going to try. He's on one leg. He's got screws and metal rods in his knee.
No chance he passes an NBA finish.
No, he can't pass through an airport security. I mean, he's all metal.
And yet, you don't want it with the Cougars. You'd much rather see the athletic Kentucky Wildcats than you would pack of dogs. Like, it's a pack of wild dogs walking down the street, and you're like, oh, my God, what do? You run inside. If you saw a pit bull walking down your neighborhood, what would you do?
I would run.
What if you saw five of them?
Oh, my God.
If you saw five of them and everyone in the neighborhood was cheering for those pit bulls to attack and kill you.
Because
that's what San Antonio is going to be like.
Whack, whack, whack. He could play. Pit bulls could do.
It's a different pit bull. If everyone in your whole neighborhood was cheering for these five pit bulls to run and attack you and kill you, because that's what San Antonio is going to be against Villanova.
That is going to be.
Everyone's cheering for the pit bulls.
Are you worried about a little Gillespie, though?
I mean, worried about a Gillespie.
That little dude.
I ain't worried about
that. That little dude can shoot.
He can play. He can play.
I mean, you gotta check him.
The arts of the
30
world,
feet out.
The arts of the world will hate on him because he doesn't have the complexion for the connection.
Yeah,
but that dude is like the top player in the conference.
He's
legit. He can fire from anywhere. So guess what? He's gonna get. He's gonna get picked up behind the half court mark.
Oh yeah, you got
behind half court. Shed will be all up in his stuff.
If I'm Villanova, I'm picking up Shed at the baseline. Okay. At the Cougs' own baseline, because the way he was throwing the ball around at the end of the game, holy crap, that might be a that what Villanova saw with pressure with Jamal Shedd.
Yeah,
that's going to be scary Saturday.
Yeah, you gotta go out there and get now. Here's what Kelvin Sampson did, because we're just talked about Kelvin Sampson being a great coach against Kofi. He had a game plan, and the game plan was to smother every time he touched it. You don't think he's going to have a game plan set up for Villanova as well?
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to have a game plan set up. Houston is athletic and long, so they have, and they're athletic at multiple positions that can switch. So they switch at the top. They switch off on all screens. Anytime you want to run a weave look on offense over the top, they switch that all off. So they're always switching off. They never go under picks unless I did notice one of them that they went under, which clearly it made me think, okay, Kelvin Sampson has scouted this guy and decided you go under picks on this one and we're not switching it. We're going to go under with him. They'll have a game plan. They'll have a game plan for Gillespie. I'm not worried about Gillespie. Fire your 30 footers if you want. I bet they're contested 30 footers.
Well, I'm just worried about that little white guy. That's a problem.
You also were worried about Oakland last year against the Astros.
Yeah. Well, guess what? I wasn't worried about Arizona. I got the Cougs.
I was. Yeah.
I'm worried about this game though. This one I'm worried.
I need to fade the Cougs and pick the other side so they can keep winning.
Listen, maybe Jay Billis. Maybe because you know the Cougs had the easiest run to the Final Four in college basketball in the tournament's history last year. The seeds that they beat, they played basically no top seeds. They were all eliminated. They played in the bracket of death, and they got through, and then they got their ass handed to them by Baylor, and so it wasn't a great look. This team, first of all, you lost. From last year's Final Four team, you lost Grimes, Sasser, Giroux, Mills, Gorham, Mark, Tyson. You lost your top eight players. All of them. Now, Sasser and Mark were here, but you lost them. 2, 4, 6, 7 guys. The top seven guys. And you lost Gresham, who played 31 games. This team, with these guys, with as depleted as they are, as the lack of depth that they have, they had to throw Walker in there, a freshman, last night. These guys going through Illinois and Arizona to get to the Elite Eight now, maybe now Jay Billis will put some respect on their name. And I'm not worried, but screw Jay Billis, who cares?
He better.
But this is... Now, last year's run was like, well, they kind of had an easy go of it. You know what? That was, you can understand. This, going through and dominating and being as dogged as they were against Illinois and against Arizona is special. This is unbelievable. Knocking out that number one seed. This is a team nobody wants to face. You don't think Jay Wright lost some sleep last night thinking about how he's going to score against this team? Jay Wright's like, holy crap, what do I got? This is, and now Jay Wright's won national championships.
If you're Jay Wright, is a really talented coach.
Yes.
If you're Jay Wright, you know, okay, look, Houston's not the most talented offensive team.
No.
How do they win? They get on the boards. They kill us on the boards.
I think with Villanova, stifling defense.
You have to play in transition. You have to play fast at times because you have to get out. You can't just let Houston set up half court.
Except, you know what Kelvin said to Ali LaForce? He said, we're playing at a pace we like.
No, he likes it to get frenetic.
He likes frenetic.
Did you notice that especially in the first half, Arizona, you can tell Houston's energy. I told my wife this over the first 5 minutes. I said, Houston's energy at all five positions is so much greater than the other team. Like, it's frenetic, but it almost makes you feel nervous. It's almost like you're playing against five hyper kids on the playground, the kinds who would give you wet willies in your ear like Tiger Chernock did.
Jerk.
And they like, and then they run off, and you're like, God, I hate these hyper kids. They're the worst.
They're farts in a stomach.
Hyper kids also are the ones that they just, like, there's certain guys in pickup basketball that you, RJ, get on the mic. Our new producer is, because he's a basketball guy too. Our new producer is in, he's shadowing Sean, and you guys will hear from RJ in a second. But RJ, do you play a bunch of pickup basketball either now or growing up?
Yeah, I played basketball all my life.
Okay, so every time you go on the court, at least this is what I would do. You take a very good look at who all's playing the game before. If you got next up,
you want the slowest guy to
cover.
Well,
you just, there's certain guys. It
that's what I did. I picked the slow. I wanted the guy that wasn't going to run around a lot.
Slowest. Yeah. Well, yeah. You find the guy. Yeah. You know who you don't want. Yeah. So what you do is when you go on the court and people start matching up, you make sure when you go on your court, you go away from that. It's you're doing this intentionally. You go, now maybe RJ, you wanted the challenges, but what I would like to do is I would go far away from him. And then, of course, if he decided to make the track to me, I'm like, oh, he's picked me out as a guy he didn't have to run as much for, so I'm going to make him run a little bit. But did you used to do that where you knew the guy that you were like, oh, man, I don't want this guy covering me?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I used to play in a rec league before I moved here, and I would always joke around with, like, one of the guys. I'm like, okay, me and you are going to guard each other because we're just going to take, like, a long stroll in the park. Yeah, we're going to jog, and we're not going to run hard. Let these other guys have it. My big ass don't want to run no more, Lance.
No, and that's like the Oklahoma drill, like, in football, too, where you're like, one, two, three, four. Ooh. Okay.
Oh, crap. No, wait.
Let me tie my shoe real quick and let somebody go past me.
Yep.
And you cut in. You want your space spot back? Nah, bro, you go ahead. I don't want to cut. I mean, you're good. You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to know. Guess what? Houston, you can't. Everybody that's going to pick you up, you don't want to guard you. But the good thing is, you know, if you're Jay Wright in Villanova, you know that, okay, at some point we got to get out. If Houston wants to throw four at the offensive boards, then when we get rebounds, we got to get up the court, run. And then also, if we're playing early offense and we're taking care of the basketball, Houston can't set up and defend us in the half court. Like, you don't want to just play a whole half court game against Houston.
Oh, no.
Because when they are hyper and frenetic, it makes you look how frenetic Arizona looked in the first half. They were, they got real rushed and hurried. And man, I can't wait. I'm so hyped up for the next game.
Oh, it was
I'm
so
glad
much.
I'll be at a Jim Jeffries concert and having to record it.
It's at 5 o'clock. It's a 5:09 game.
Oh, it's 5:09?
Yeah.
I'm golden then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm golden because the doors are open at 7-something. They have a first comedian that comes out.
Yeah, what's the first comedian?
I mean, unless it's like Dave Chappelle or if it's –
Chappelle is opening for Jim Jeffries?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Right. Hey, when we come back, Jimbo had some stuff for Lane Kiffin, you'll remember, on signing day.
Mm-hmm.
Lane Kiffin
challenged him to a fight.
Came back yesterday. Lane Kiffin came back yesterday. And we'll play both sides on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Jose Altuve, All-Star and MVP. If you need a new vehicle, get down to GovCut Chevrolet with GMC. Chevy, find new roads.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, look, two things that have to be addressed. Number one, you just heard the voice of our new producer. Sean's taking care of it today, but our new producer, RJ, was just on. We just had him on. We have a new producer, full-time producer. Tyler was, it was his last day yesterday, although he was just filling in. Tyler was the assistant program director. But Tyler got a really good offer and could not pass it up outside of radio. So here's what RJ was just on the air, and Twitch said, run, RJ, never look back. You don't want this show. Get out. It's not true. Don't listen to them, RJ.
Don't listen to anything.
And then someone
Twitch
else said,
says ever, RJ.
And someone else said,
He just ran out the building.
Well, somebody else said Deshaun's physical he was going to flunk his physical because he kept asking for prostate exams. That's not accurate. I searched that. I Googled it. And nowhere did anyone have a report of that.
No.
That's not why anyone failed a fit. No one failed a physical.
We've had a couple other tweets. Your best two players are named Timmy and Chet, and you struggle against athletic teams. Who would have thought?
Was that a heart?
Well, no, that was actually Brent.
That's true. That's true.
This is something. This is true, and I was thinking about this too. It when Fly Slamma Jamma was playing, boy, you want to talk about college basketball teams. You're talking about the Georgetown, loaded. North Carolina,
no, every college,
Kansas,
team.
Kentucky teams.
That's a really good point. All
Holy
the teams,
crap.
Like Louisville was packed, and they're all Milt Wagner, Flash
Wow, Arizona.
Gordon.
I mean, it was
every
a golden
team had
era.
Three and four players.
The Big
players.
East. The Syracuses and the Connecticuts and the holy crap.
Well, you got Ronnie Cikley, Derek Coleman. Yeah, they were on the same team with DC. No. No, actually, I don't think they would have been. But
It was.
Yeah, the teams, you're right. I mean, the teams.
Well, and
were
they were there for three and 4 years.
Well, they were super deep. They were super talented. They have grown men strength.
Mm-hmm.
Weights weren't as big for some programs as others. The biggest difference is. The shooting was not the same. Like, it's much better shooting now in the three-pointer. The only teams that had three-pointers was the ACC had a short three-point line, and they could only use it in conference. You couldn't use it in a tournament. And so there was not a three-point.
That basketball compared to today's basketball is almost.
They're different sports.
Yeah. Yeah.
In some ways.
Remember the Georgetown teams with Graham and.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Does that not look like Houston
it
defensively?
It does.
And the way they get on the board, except imagine Houston. But having one of a Hall of Famer at center. So take this Houston team now, because they didn't have a bunch of pros. Take this Houston team. Now put a Hall of Fame big man like Patrick Ewing. And now keep him there for 4 years.
Right.
Ewing was a four-year guy.
Dream, Michael, 3 years.
Dream was three. Dream
went Worthy, to, four.
Dream went to
Sam
Final
Perkins,
four. All 4 years.
I mean,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
Exactly.
All right, let's get to the story. You might remember on signing day, boy, Jimbo Fisher went off, and we'll play a little bit of it for those of you who don't remember. He was pissed at Lane Kiffin because Lane Kiffin made comments about how the Aggies exceeded the salary cap. In their signing on signing day, and here's Jimbo Fisher. Here's the end of it. I mean, it was awesome. It was about a couple minute rant. Here's the end of Jimbo talking about Lane Kiffin.
The hypocrisy is a joke. It's an absolute joke, and it's insulting to our staff, how hard we work, to how we do things. And it's insulting to Texas A&M because there ain't a better place to go to school and play ball. If you don't like it, we're coming on. Get used to it. All right, we ain't going nowhere. It's an absolute joke, the people who put the hard work in and do it. It's irresponsible, but it's funny when they get it, it's all okay. Ball games are changing, man. And it ain't because of NIL and what goes on. It's pretty irresponsible of all of them. They're clowns.
Go next.
If they got a problem with it, come see me.
No.
I ain't a hard guy to find.
Ain't that hard to find?
I ain't a hard guy to find. So, threw down the gauntlet. Finally, Lane Kiffin, I guess it might have been yesterday, he finally addressed the Jimbo deal.
And I've obviously said a lot about NIL from the beginning of it. Let's make sure that we understand. I love that the players are getting paid, and I just say how it is. So, you know, I mean, I guess I got called a clown before for saying how it is. NIL has a lot to do with where players go. And to not think that's crazy. And I mean, it'd literally be like being a head coach in the NFL, signing a great free agency class, you know, of signing guys, going out and getting these great players and coming up here and saying to you guys, the contract had nothing to do with why the players came here. And they just want to come play for me. So, obviously, it has a lot to do with where players go, and it should. I mean, you're talking about 17, 18-year-old kids, you know. Adults choose jobs a lot of times for money, for salary. So why would a kid not?
He makes a decent point. However, I don't know if Lane knows the rules. You're not supposed to use NIL to recruit a player. I'm not sure he understands that.
No, but Lane is just telling you what's really happening.
It is.
Lane is not. Listen, Lane's first comments really weren't off. As much as I like Jimbo more than Lane. Lane's first comments weren't off. Lane's comments here are not off. NIL, people thought they were doing something good, and it was always foolhardy. I never thought it was a good idea because it needs to be done in an NCAA basis. But the NCAA the NCAA really screwed this up, obviously, because if they would have just created a true NIL where they could have done trading card stuff, jerseys, a video game, where you could have created funds that a player could get either throughout the year or at the end of the year or whatever. and maybe you kick in something and you match those funds, that would have been great. And everyone would have been relatively happy. But what NIL, what they did is as soon as they signed this in and everyone got behind it, and I guarantee you the people who got behind it, most of them, I know there's a lot of people who don't care. They just want it to be full scale, full on professional sports just at a younger age. And they're to blame. I mean, when Nick Saban and all these coaches get double digit millions,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, hey, goose and gander, right. You can see that. But the problem is the NIL is being used, that in a transfer portal. And I guess they just didn't see this coming, where there's no deterrent from transferring now. Like, you don't have to sit out a year. Now it's made it to where teams literally just say, we'll give you $50,000. It'll be called NIL. We create a shell company, and this is how it works. And what Lane said is not incorrect, though. He's just not supposed to say it out loud, but everyone knows.
Anyway,
Why do we have to put up with this charade?
And Jimbo maybe underplayed the A&M's NIL ability. Might have underplayed it just a hair.
Hey, it's the same as everybody else, okay? We don't have any special advantages. Ain't nobody getting any money here.
Well, he said, no. He said, there ain't no $30 million. There ain't no $10 million. There ain't no $5 million. Well, okay. 756, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, yesterday, well, I'm not sure when they were there, but the Cougs weren't the only Houston team in San Antonio. We'll tell you about it, and maybe our team found a running back there. We'll see what Lance thinks of him when we come back on ESPN 97.5. And 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about MyBookie, MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. What? If you're looking for a great way to play the Cougs tomorrow against Villanova, let's go see what it is. I don't even know what that opening line is, but here's the deal. It can't be much. The Cougs were only 1.5, one and then 1.5 against the Arizona. So I would imagine that the Cougs are going to, it's going to be pretty good, pretty close. Take the money line. Take them Cougs tomorrow at 5:09 against Villanova. Pretty close. The Cougs are 2.5-point favorites right now. How about that? The 5 seed against the 2 seed is a 2.5-point favorite. Like it? Don't like it? I don't care. You can bet it right here at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. If you're looking for the best way to play, win, and get paid, go see my peeps. You deposit the money. And a lot of times they're going to give you free bets or double your initial deposit. It's crazy how unbelievable and how playable it is. And oh, by the way, it's a great website to surf. It's easy to do. So if you're looking for a great place to play, win, and get paid, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!